Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
Do you think that whenever Tom Cruise was, when he was filming The Mummy and he's like with the prop department, he'd point at stuff and be like, hey, that's a wrap. And they'd be like, all right, done for the day.
Yeah, I can imagine that that's the case.
That's the best joke I got, bud.
Wasn't that Brendan Fraser in The Mummy?
Well, the new one Tom Cruise.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we can start the show. Let's say, and it's a stranger still.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
a spooky vampire cast where we talk like this.
We do, and I talk like this. Whoa.
Yeah, mine was lazy. How does like a Frankenstein talk?
From the movie or the book?
The book. Is it different than the book? Is it more like ASMR, like sloppy sense?
Yeah, he's
laughing.
He does a lot of like eating chalk and stuff because it makes his hair stand on end.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous. I'm John Began.
I'm Nick Wood. How's it going, man?
Like I said in the beginning, no more terrible than usual, just the normal amount of awful.
Yeah.
What about you? How are you?
I'm doing all right. I think I would be doing better if I had time to watch horror movies. And that's not just a segue, it's also the truth. I haven't had like any time to watch horror movies this spooky season, so it doesn't really feel spooky to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the same thing, especially like that the weather's confused and it snowed yesterday.
It did. Yeah. Oh, dude, I let my cat outside for the lulls, and then Shelby picked her up and she was on her shoulder, and I went back to check on him, and she had like snow all over her and she didn't want to come inside. So I brought her inside, and then for like the next half an hour, she sat by the door wanting to go back out. I think she's a dog.
Yeah, you should let her out and see if she like tries. Will she try to jump the fence or anything?
No, well, she tries in the backyard. She tries to fit through the slats to go to the neighbor's yard.
Just get a leash.
Yeah, we have a leash. We have one of those stakes you put in the ground. Speaking of stakes, vampires and horror movies. Back to the horror movie thing. I've really wanted to watch Us again. Have you watched that?
Yeah. Rewatch that today. I don't remember if we watched it together. Probably not. But I did find our cups from when we did go see a movie together. Last time I was in the movie theater, we got Hobbs and Shaw cups.
Yeah.
And I have them saved because you gave me yours because you didn't want it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what movie that was. I wish you did.
Oh, man. It was probably It Part 2, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That was the last movie.
I don't remember.
Anyone's ever seen.
Yeah, actually,
it was Avengers. Yeah,
yeah. I was thinking about that. The last movie I saw in theaters was Onward, and COVID had just started. And in the movie, they talk about how the father got sick and died, and one of the kids in the audience was like, "From coronavirus." And I'll never forget that because everyone laughed, and then we're never going to a movie theater.
And now all those people died. Everyone in the entire theater.
Yeah,
yeah. Jesus,
I know. It's kind of spooky. You know what else is spooky?
What's that? Vampires and ghosts and creatures and black lagoons?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to discuss where horror movie, not just movie, but horror monsters in general got their inspiration from. And this was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And we've talked about some of them either.
That's a lot of, like, not to derail you, but this is more important. Yeah. That's a lot of what ancient Olympians used to say.
What's that?
I want to discuss. And then they would throw it and they say, this is a lot harder than I thought it would be.
I can tell you with absolute certainty, nothing is going to be funnier than that. This entire episode. We have peaked. We have finally peaked. But I'll try.
Welcome,
we can keep trying.
Okay.
We talked about Frankenstein a little bit. We talked about zombies. I think we talked about vampires.
Zombies come out for Call of Duty today.
Oh, is it?
Modern Warfare. Yeah, it was a spooky Halloween thing. And they're going to get Leatherface and the guy from Saw, which I'm not excited about.
Oh, I think that's Jigsaw?
Bad. Yeah, he's a character you can play as.
That's a weird get. I guess they're trying to compete with like Friday the 13th and Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, but that's cool, Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
it's cooler than Jigsaw.
Yeah.
I don't like Saw movies.
I mean, but what monsters do they have left? Well, maybe I could give them a couple ideas.
Freddy Krueger?
Yeah.
With a flamethrower?
Isn't he in Dead by Daylight?
I don't know. That game's not that... I'm not the biggest fan.
Oh, sorry to hear that. So I pulled up a bunch of movie monsters to research, and some of them were just way too straightforward. Like, I wanted to talk about Phantom of the Opera, but then it was just a story that this French journalist came up with. And I want to talk about the Invisible Man, but then, like, it was just
offensive,
like,
to invisible people, so it's hard to talk about.
Yeah.
Too controversial episode. It's
too controversial. No, H.G. Wells just came up with it after reading a couple poems about invisible people. So, like, those were out the window. So I was able to find some interesting backstories on the Mummy, Gill Man, Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and King Kong. And I thought it'd be fun to share those with you, John. Maybe it will inspire us to go watch some horror films.
Yeah, I kind of want to rewatch Us, Get Out, and I really wanted to rewatch It Follows recently.
Dude, me too. Yeah. All three of those. Here's what we should do.
Movie night?
You and me have a movie night, a virtual movie night.
Yeah, let's do that.
And we could stream it if people want to also watch it on their own. I don't know.
How do we get away with that?
Well, they'd have to watch it on their own and then just listen to us talk about it.
Okay, we'd hit play at the same time.
Yeah. Or we could just enjoy each other's company and not have to...
No. I want to monetize this friendship.
So, John, you've heard of the Mummy.
Yeah, and the Dotty. I think I made that joke in episode 53 when we switched bodies. But the beginning of this is pretty fun.
Yeah. You thought the Mummy was with Brendan Fraser. Did you know that that was a remake?
Yeah. That was a remake of like a 60s or 70s movie, right?
Maybe there was one in the made in the 60s. The original The Mummy movie came out in 1923. No, sorry.
Mm.
Not 1923. That was a different movie. Oh, geez. What year was it?
1876.
I think it was 1932. Man, I have all these dates in here except for that. I'm an idiot. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So way back at the turn of the century, we're talking like 100 years ago, I don't know if you've heard of these things called moving pictures. They were taking the world by storm.
Did people talk in them?
No, they didn't have talkies yet. These were just pictures that had motion to them. It was crazy.
Like gifts. They were the first gifts.
They were the first gifts, and you had to pay a lot of money to watch them. Now you just get
gifts
for
free. And they didn't loop indefinitely. Yeah, and they loop forever.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
Can you imagine paying for gifts? What losers. So
that's my second company I want to do. Not to derail this too much, but this is more important. I have access to create an unlimited storefront with Wix. What if I've made, and hear me out here, I haven't picked a domain yet, but I do want to sell people on this concept. Okay. What if I sent you memes every week? Print it out.
On like high physical quality page paper?
Like really nice paper. Like a meme to your door. Laminated.
Would you pay
for that service?
Probably not, but also I'm a cheapskate, so...
What if I told you you could get all this for only $15.99 a month?
I'm going to say that's a steal so that I can...
Not only that, but you do get a digital version emailed to you as well.
You know what? I'm in.
Okay, yeah. So you don't even have to take a picture of
it. Let's take this to Shark Tank.
All right.
So anyway, 100 years ago, like a century ago,
Sell this podcast to ourselves so we can copyright that.
Yeah, thanks. We don't want people steal this.
Talk about whatever the hell you were talking about.
Yeah, so back in the day, there was this little studio you might have heard of called Universal Studios. And in the 1910s and 20s, there was this fierce competition between MGM and Universal. And Universal was losing until basically 1923. And that's in 1923, they released Hunchback of Notre Dame, which was very dramatic. Not really anything like they'd done before, and it led to them attempting even more dramatic films. And 2 years later, they adapted a French novel into a horror film called The Phantom of the Opera. You've heard of this?
The Phantom of the Opera, yes. I know of this especially because I know of your fandom.
Yes, I do love Phantom of the Opera. I won't spend much time on it. We can talk about it another day. But after the success of Phantom of the Opera, had Lon Chaney in it, great makeup and special effects, they really leaned into this horror niche that they had dug out. And they went on to make Dracula and Frankenstein to rousing success. We're not talking about those. Those, like I mentioned before, these are all very straightforward stories, and we've already talked about those. Nay, instead we're going to talk about The Mummy, which seems like straightforward. Where do you get this horror idea for a movie about a mummy? A mummy that curses people. And for those that don't know, I didn't know this, so I feel like it's worth sharing. The original Mummy was about Imhotep, who in real life, was a chancellor to a pharaoh, probably an architect, author, religious leader, and or doctor. There was a lot written on him in ancient Egypt. He was like written on tops of tombs and stuff. He's like the only non-pharaoh to be deitized. How do you pronounce that? I'm going to mispronounce.
He was on a diet?
He was a dietitian, yeah. However, in the movie, since not much is actually known about Imhotep, his tomb was discovered, which in real life it was never found. But they found his tomb in this movie. They uncovered it, and it turns out that he had been mummified and cursed to live forever because he had fallen in love with the pharaoh's daughter, and the pharaoh wasn't a fan of that. So now Imhotep wanders the earth looking for her reincarnation. And one thing that I'd like to dispel, like we did with Frankenstein, is that in the movie, he didn't like shimmy around in wraps and go like all the mummies that we know today. That was in later movies, I believe. Instead, he pretended to be like a modern, at the time, Egyptian, still looking for that pharaoh's daughter's reincarnation so he could kill her, mummify her, and then curse her to live with him forever. I'm not sure where the raps came from, but it certainly wasn't this movie. Get rid of those rumors right now, John.
Okay.
Scrub the internet.
Shut down the forums, guys.
So
we like to come up with conspiracy theories. In our group chats, I guess.
That's all we do. Conspiracy.
That'd be a fun podcast. It's just to make up, like, I know we had a little thing that we were working on, but maybe we make up conspiracy theories.
Let's do it. But then that's dangerous because then, I mean, people would be like, oh, you're just paid to say it isn't real.
Well, here's what I would do. Real. Make it a YouTube series. In the first half, you come up with a theory. In the second half, you deconstruct how you made it up.
Yeah. And then you try to spread it, make it real. Yeah. So the idea for the mummy goes back to this cultural zeitgeist that I kind of want to spend some time exploring, and that is the idea of the mummy's curse. I'm sure that you've heard of this. It was like my favorite thing in
the
fourth
F-word.
Grade. What's the F word?
That's the well, no, that's the mummy's curse. That's his curse of choice, is the F word.
Yeah.
There's no joke there. That's fact.
That's just fact.
It's not the F word. It's not fact. It's a different word.
It is a different
word. It's what you think it is.
A different four-letter word starts with F.
Yeah. It's what you think it is. I'll just say that. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to say it out loud on the show. It's for children.
It's fart. Was I right? I guess not. So the first mummy movie came out, here I have the date, it was 1932. 10 years before that, an archaeologist named Howard Carter uncovered the tomb of Tutankhamun. And this got a lot of media coverage because it was incredible that they had found a tomb of a pharaoh, but that didn't sell as well as they wanted it to, because what sells in media, John?
Sex, buddy. Yeah. Get some sexy mummies. Take off those wraps, sucker. It's time to twerk in the tomb. Is that what you were hoping for?
Not
was
quite.
Was this like hype up the movie? Okay.
Not quite. What I was thinking was blood, and this came in the form of the movie The Mummy's Curse, not the F word, just like a witch's curse, which is also not the F word. Cinelink summarized it better than I could put it, which they said, on the day Carter opened the tomb, it was reported that he sent a boy on an errand at his residence, and the boy found a cobra had eaten Carter's pet canary. The cobra was used as a representation of the Egyptian monarchy, and this finding was seen as a curse in response to Carter's intrusion. Which, I know, it's not every day your bird gets eaten by a cobra, but it seems like a stretch to say that this was the mummy's curse. They go on to say the media drummed up the pharaoh's curse angle to generate newspaper sales, and the mass appeal was only increased by further strange happenings over the next decade. No fewer than 11 people who had visited the tomb within the first year of it being opened had died during this span. For example, Lord Carnarvon, the financial backer of the excavation team, died 4 months after Carter first opened the tomb. Ooh, so spooky. Curses aren't real. There's been stories of other mummies' curses, like Bram Stoker, who's famous for Dracula, wrote The Jewel of the Seven Stars. But it was really this sensationalism of King Tut's tomb that when Universal was looking for original horror creatures led them to using the mummy. Can you imagine being alive in a time where people thought curses were real? No one believes that anymore.
Aren't there curses? Aren't there like, isn't that what people are trying to vaccinate against?
If only, because people actually believe in curses, and if we could tell them vaccines would cure the curses, they might actually take their vaccines.
I mean, there should be an initiative to do that. Yeah, let's raise some money. Good. There's a lot of businesses today.
I know.
If you steal any of them, you're legally
we're coming after you.
Bound. Yeah.
We're your new Shark Tank. You got to give us a cut of the money.
I'm writing, this video is copyrighted.
You're putting this in the chat.
Yeah. Do not steal any ideas I came up with. Or you better lawyer up, partner. Yeehaw, with a cowboy
saw.
Okay, that's legally binding.
Perfect, legally binding. So sticking with Universal here for a little bit before we move on.
You couldn't tie the binding, pun intended, to the mummy. You had to skip around to video game culture. You brainwashed nerd.
I'm indoctrinated. How many times do I have to say that?
Okay. Well, so, I guess mummies aren't really binded. But they wear a binding. But
yeah, you know what else is binding? This contract that Universal had. It's going nowhere.
Okay,
so,
that's good.
In some cases, Universal used real monsters. Used monsters that had been around since humans had been telling stories like Wolfman or Dracula with vampires. Other times they capitalize on what was terrorizing society at the time, like in the case of the mummy. But other times it was just someone's idea made up from whole cloth. Such was the case with the creature from the Black Lagoon, which I guess his name is Gillman. Didn't know that before I researched this. Not afraid to admit it, but it seems like a lame name for a creature.
Gillman. Because it kind of sounds like Gilman.
Gilman. You're right.
It sounds like innocent, like old man's last name.
Yeah.
Just Mr. Gillman, just fetching his mail.
Oh, there's Mr. Gilman again, yelling at the kids.
Yeah, yeah. Lagoon.
Creature of the
that
Black
is
Lagoon.
Right. So Black Lagoon is like really scary if you think about like being in water that you can't see underneath. Why is that such a scary thing to people? Do you think we were grabbed by a lot of like spooky eels back in
evolutionary times when we were still evolving? You know, maybe. Why is that? I'm sure there's an episode in there somewhere you can talk about.
Yeah, why is water scary?
Yeah, water is scary, man.
It's us, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Why are you afraid of ourselves, Nick?
Because we're afraid to look at that man in the mirror, ask him to change his ways. So, The Creature from the Black Lagoon was premiered in 1954, and it was about a geological expedition to the Amazon to find an evolutionary link between creatures of the sea and humans, and one of the missing links, Gillman, stumbles upon the expedition. Chaos ensues. People are killed. He falls in love with a lady on site. But this man named William Olland was attending a party held by Orson Welles, which if you don't know who that is, he's the guy that made the cheat code for The Sims, Rosebud.
Oh, right.
He did Citizen Kane. At this party, William Olland was talking to a Mexican filmmaker, Gabriel Figueroa, and Gabriel was relaying this story he had heard of a creature of the Amazon. And I know what you're thinking. It's not Jeff Bezos. It was half man, half fish, and it came out of the river once a year, kidnapped a woman, took her into the river, leaving that village safe for a year. So if the village sacrificed the woman, they'd be safe for a year. It's basically the first plot line of Dragon Ball with Oolong, the shapeshifter. I'm not a weeb. You are, John.
I think you called me that today. Shameful. Shameful person. So basically, this is like the opposite of The Shape of Water.
Well, I think this probably had an influence on Shape of Water.
I don't know. It looks like a completely different story.
Well,
let me look it up on my, hold on. I'm going to look up The Shape of Water deviant art. I want to make sure.
Oh, God, no. No. It's too late. We can't see.
I want more information about this movie. Continue.
Anyway, by all accounts, no such legend of this creature exists in South America. There are certainly creatures like the Igpupiara, who attacked and killed people that crossed the Amazon River if they used a canoe made of a single bark, whatever that means. The closest legend that one journalist named Andreoli Costa could find was a snake that lived in Lake, I think it's Hua? But anyway, Costa came up with this legend that says, when a girl was suspected of losing her virginity, Her parents took her to the lake full of to the lake with gifts. There lived a serpent which served the Tupi god of love, Ruda.
We just talked about gifts too.
Yeah, first. Full circle. Which was able to recognize virgins. If the girl was still a maiden, the creature would receive the presents and leave. Otherwise, the girl would be devoured. Which is, I mean, why can't we just be sex positive?
I mean, that's what The Shape of Water was about. Did you even watch it?
I haven't.
Okay, me neither, but I imagine it's just like that. But the devouring is like a good thing.
Yes. Okay. I see where you're going with this. So likely, this is probably where this legend came from, and Gabriel Figueroa had been caught up in some game of telephone.
Either we need a laugh track, because I'm so funny, but people don't realize it if they don't, you know, get that peer pressure broken.
Yeah,
go
just like Scooby-Doo. You don't know that the jokes are funny until some... Who put laugh tracks on cartoons? God, I hate laugh tracks.
I hate laugh tracks a lot, but what was that one video where they took the laugh tracks out? Oh, of the Big Bang Theory.
They've done it to Big Bang Theory in 2.5 Men.
That's my least favorite show of all time.
It's very bad. Anyway, William Allen took this idea that Gabriel had relayed to him, added some elements of Beauty and the Beast, and gave us Gilman. One little factoid about the design of Gilman, it was actually inspired by the Oscar statue. They were struggling coming up with the costume design for him. So one of the special effects artists had an invitation to the Oscars, and he looked at the picture of the Oscar statue, and he was like, hey, that's a good silhouette. So they made like a base mold that kind of looked like the Oscar statue, the golden guy. And then they just like started adding scales and feathers to it until they got something that they liked.
It looks good.
Yeah. I mean, the special effects in these movies were impressive for the time. That's what made Universal stand out.
You should see the special effects that I found on DeviantArt, too. Like, a lot of these
Yeah, why don't you show me one of those?
I don't know if I could... Maybe after the podcast. Oh, my.
So, John, when you think of modern horror movies, who are some... Who are some of the first classic monsters of modern horror that come to mind?
Godzilla.
Godzilla? That's a good one.
It. From It Follows.
Yeah. Picking up what you're laying down. What about like Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers? Hey, Michael Myers is a good one.
Yeah, from Austin Powers. He's a villain. He's a real monster. Have you seen the stuff that he said?
Mike Myers?
He just sounds like he's the type of name that you would throw out to say he's canceled, but he's not. He's probably a good dude. Like, I love that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Please don't cancel him.
He's a funny man. Believe it or not, that's Mike Myers. Also, believe it or not, Michael Myers, the character from Halloween, really sort of kicked off the modern slasher film genre. There was a couple more movies like The Shining and stuff. And Psycho that were certainly slasher films, but after Halloween came out, there's a resurgence of these slasher films. And this all came from the mind of John Carpenter, who had made other great horror films like The Thing. And Michael Myers was this mysterious murderer. I forgot to say Halloween came out in 1978. Halloween's about this psychotic 6-year-old boy who killed his sister on Halloween night, and he was put into a psychiatric facility, but escapes 15 years later to return to his home, where he finds Jamie Lee Curtis, ends up stalking her while going on a murderous rampage. And according to Screen Rant, there were three main things that inspired John Carpenter's Halloween. The first thing was a college field trip he went on with one of his classes. For whatever reason, this class went to a psychiatric facility, much like Michael Myers went to. And there was this young teenage boy there who had a, quote, schizophrenic stare. And he said, this boy's black, soulless eyes and pale, emotionless face inspired Dr. Loomis's quote in the movie when he describes Michael as having the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Wow, you really spooked me up. What was the weirdest field trip you've ever been on, Nick?
Oh, boy. Let me think about that one.
I went to jail.
Oh, congratulations.
I was in a law class, and we went to jail.
We went to jail when I was in Cub Scouts.
That's weird, too. Dude, when I went to jail, one of the prisoners pretended to spit on me, and he called me Skechers because he liked my Skechers shoes. And then another guy called me Superman because I still have the similar haircut to what I have now, where it's swoop.
Yeah, the Clark Kent.
Yeah, and they like threaten to like fight you and stuff. And then there's like the violent criminals wear the red and white stripes on different floors.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was really like a good celebration of the prison industrial complex.
Teach them early. I don't know what our weirdest field trip was. I'm sure that there was a weird field trip. We went to Godfather's Pizza once. That was pretty sweet. We went to Krispy Kreme when that was still open. Now it's in Arby's. That's kind of sad. Anyway, the second thing was the idea of the neighborhood haunted house. You know, like every neighborhood has that house that's like a witch lives there, or someone was murdered in that house and it's still haunted, or the people that live there are weird. That's what we had. And like my brother, I think he told me these people that lived in this house like diagonal from us were like devil worshippers. Like there's always that house in the neighborhood, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he wanted to include something like that in the movie. That gave us the Myers house. And then the last thing is something that we've already talked about, which is Celtic or Celtic traditions, depending on which part of the country you're from. We talked about this before, but there's this idea in these old traditions that on Halloween, souls were allowed to roam the earth and cause havoc and whatnot. And he really wanted to capture that feeling with Halloween, and that gave us Michael Myers.
He's so handsome.
A fun fact about Michael Myers, not Mike Myers. I know you're thinking about Austin Powers again. I think most people know this at this point, but the Michael Myers mask was actually a Will Shatner mask they'd got at a Halloween costume store and just painted it white and ruffled up the hair. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, you can certainly see William Shatner. Are you pulling it up?
Yeah, wow, that's so much scarier.
Yeah, they didn't have like a budget. They might have had a budget, but then they found that and were like, yeah, this works. Let's just do it. So, or I think maybe he was supposed to wear a different mask. I can't remember. And then they couldn't get the rights to William
Shatner. That's where Captain Kirk, so they just painted it white.
Yeah.
It would have looked just as scary in it, though. That's a cool thing to like sell.
Yeah.
It's an unpainted version. That's cool.
So
I'm looking at some funny pictures of them side by side. It's hard to see in the front.
Now you'll never unsee it.
Yeah.
Another classic movie. This might be your favorite. Is Freddy Krueger? Is that your favorite?
My favorite what?
Like horror movie monster of the modern age?
I don't know.
Something
I don't know if it's
really done. I know that you like Friday the. Oh no, I was thinking of Friday the 13th. Dang it! This is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. Jason's probably my favorite, just because I love the game and I love the movies, but...
Yeah, I don't know why I always get those two movies confused.
Maybe not. Maybe my favorite monster is, like, something more modern, like the idea
Society.
Of It. It Follows.
It is from the movie It, no? I don't know. So, Freddy Krueger was the star of the 1981 film Nightmare on Elm Street, and this was a film about a creepy-looking dude with knife gloves that haunts people's nightmares, and if he can kill them in the dream, they die in real life. And this was the creation of horror master Wes Craven, who I'm sure is really fun at parties. And this is kind of dark, but the inspiration was actually the result of Cambodian genocide. In the 70s, a group of communists known as the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia. I know I'm mispronouncing that because it's spelled Khmer, and I'm not, as an uncultured swine, I'm not used to that many consonants in a row. But they took over Cambodia, and they had state-sponsored genocide where they'd take groups of people that didn't align with their beliefs into various fields across the country and kill them. These were monks, like Buddhist monks, Christians, Chinese people, Vietnamese people, Thai people, and these were known as the killing fields. And when asked where the inspiration for Freddy Krueger came from, Wes Craven remembered the series of articles that he'd read in the LA Times, and in one of them, they talked about a boy who had come to the United States successfully fleeing the killing fields. And he kept having these nightmares of something chasing him, and he would, like, he'd go days without sleeping for fear of this dream. Eventually, he fell asleep, and his parents were awoken in the middle of the night of him screaming because of a nightmare, but by the time they got to his bedroom, he had already died. It's kind of creepy.
Mm.
Just creepy enough to give us Freddy Krueger. Pretty dark, so I'll move on.
So did he die? Did he die of fright? From his PTSD?
I believe so. I imagine he had some sort of cardiac arrest or something. I don't know. I think it was kind of a phenomenon for a while. I don't think he was the only case. If I remember the series of articles, there was like three of them or something that had different stories of this happening to different people. So it certainly was very likely something related to PTSD. But on a more lighthearted note, one of my favorite things to do is look back on classic horror movies and be like, how were people afraid of this? You ever do that? Like, it's clearly like just a guy in a monkey suit. Knowing full well that my kids are going to do the same thing with It Follows, or like, I'm not a fan of Paranormal Activity, but people in 10 years be like, this is stupid. That being said, can you believe the original King Kong was considered a horror movie?
I mean, original King Kong, I guess, is different. I was thinking of original Godzilla, which is a horror movie.
Yeah, that was on my list for a little bit, because it's an allegory for nuclear holocaust and the tragedies that faced Japan in World War II. But the origin story of Godzilla was the creator was flying over the ocean, and he's like, wouldn't it be creepy if a giant sea monster just came out of the ocean right now? And that's where the idea for Godzilla came from. Definitely more scary than King Kong. But when King Kong came out, it kind of spooked people, I guess. What's funny to me is it didn't start off as a horror movie by any stretch of the imagination. And I save this for last because I think it's my favorite origin story, just because when we get to the end of it, it's silly. The idea really came down to two guys. Mainly, there was a guy named Marion Cooper. He had a business partner named Ernest Schoedsack. Schoedsack? Yeah.
What's his last? Okay.
So Cooper was many things, but during a period in his life, he and Ernest would go on expeditions to film things. He was considered himself an explorer, and they'd take these cameras out there, and they would just film nature. And when they were doing that, they'd find an animal they liked in their habitat. They'd film it, and then they'd come up with a story and edit the film around it to fit that story. I kind of see this with like Disney today. There was this this documentary that Rory likes watching on Disney Plus, where it's like these monkeys in the jungle, and they tell the story like this grandpa is like protecting the tribe and blah blah blah. But that's like more realistic. This was like this ape fights a Komodo dragon, which is this idea that he came up that kickstarted King Kong. Anyway, he'd come up with these stories and they'd call them natural dramas. They were pretty popular at the time. They had fun making them. And during one of these expeditions, he found some baboons and became very, very interested in them and gorillas and apes in general. And around that time, one of his friends, Douglas Burden, traveled to Komodo in Indonesia. And he found every fourth grader's favorite lizard, the Komodo dragon. And Cooper, did you ever go through a phase where you're like, oh, dude, the Komodo dragon's so sweet?
Because you find out that dragons are real,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. But Cooper saw it, and he's like, dude, what if we made a movie where an ape fights a Komodo dragon? Because he's a child. And Douglas actually brought back one or two of the Komodo dragons to the Bronx Zoo to be put on display, but not soon after, they died in captivity. And I guess Cooper thought this was like beautiful, so then he also worked that into his story. He's like, what if the ape and the Komodo dragon fought, and then while they're fighting, the ape gets captured and brought back to the United States, where it escapes, wreaks havoc in New York, and then dies. And then from there... Okay. Yeah.
When you put it that way.
Yeah. Like, that's almost exactly what he thought. Cooper, from there, just kept slapping things on it. So there was a production crew working on another movie called Creation, and there was a group of people working on stop-motion dinosaur models for the movie, and he saw that, and he's like, bro, what if this ape fought dinosaurs instead of a Komodo dragon? And before he had made this decision, it was going to be like at the time, what was considered a normal-sized ape, which was 12 feet. No one knew anything about apes or gorillas at the time, so they thought they were 12 feet tall. But it went from 12 feet tall to like 120 feet tall when he started fighting dinosaurs. And then at the end of the movie, King Kong was going to climb up the Chrysler Building. It was going to get struck by lightning, and King Kong was going to die. But while they're in production, the Empire State Building was opened up, and he was like, dude, that's so much taller than the Chrysler Building. So then he changed the ending to him climbing the Empire State Building, and the lightning wasn't fantastic enough, so then he added in those fighter planes that inevitably shoot King Kong down. Sorry for the spoilers of a 100-year-old movie. But one of the reasons I love this origin story is because it reminds me of when you're a kid and like you're doing writing exercises in like second grade is where my mind goes to. And you're really into something, so you write a lame story about that, but then you're also into this other random, unrelated thing, so then you also include that in the story.
Yeah, you work it again.
Yeah. Like,
it's crossover.
I know, it's like original cross-fiction, but like, I remember I wrote a story about like, my TV sucked me into Super Smash Brothers on the Nintendo 64, but then I was really into aliens, and like aliens showed up and we had to battle them, and Banjo was definitely there long before he was in Smash Brothers. I'm pretty sure dinosaurs showed up at some point. So this guy, this like probably millionaire at the time, was just going around being like, oh dude, I like that, that's what my movie's about. And then he'd come across something new, just like walk a block down the street and be like, oh dude, that's what my movie's about now.
And then he'll do this.
Yeah, dinosaurs are rad. Dinosaurs gotta be in it for sure. So I just think it's goofy.
No, that's beautiful. Yeah. It's like capturing how everybody should want to feel when you get creative.
Yeah.
Like when I make a song and I'm like, oh, and then I'll do this. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So that's all I got, man. Any horror movies that I missed out on that you wish I had covered?
Because
I bet you I looked into it and it was not interesting or a sentence long.
Give me an example.
Like I looked into Jason Voorhees and it was just like they wanted to make a slasher film. Or Phantom of the Opera. Like I said, this guy was a journalist. He inherited a bunch of money from his dad, so he can kind of do whatever he wants. So then he wrote a story about the opera because he was way into to theater. The end. What were some of the other ones I had looked up?
How about Ricky O? He's a monster.
Oh, I didn't look into that one. You got me. Wait. What? Who?
Ricky O.
I don't know.
I want to watch that movie with you. We'll do another movie night of like we'll pick a goofy one.
Okay. Well, after the break, I want to play a similar game to one that we played, 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago? I don't remember anymore, which is real monster or fake monster. Should we take a quick break?
Please, sir. Let's do it.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes. The devil's eyes.
John, where can people even find us even?
In StrangerSocial.com even. You could also go on iTunes and type us in. You could go to Stitcher and type us in. You can go to Spotify, music app, Apple Music.
Yeah.
Your podcaster, Google, Yelp, Bing, in Iowa, in the United States, in our houses, in our human bodies. There are many ways to define that, Nicholas.
Yeah. One thing you forgot is patreon.com/strangerstill. I'm pretty sure when I talked about the game we played about fake and real movie horror movies, didn't we do that on Patreon?
We did do something like that, yes.
Yeah, so if you want to hear that, go listen to our Patreon episode. You reminded me of this comment we got on Podbean. It's worth sharing. It's pretty funny, if you ask me. It was on our... What was it? On our... Adrenochrome is on our Adrenochrome episode. This person, who I believe is anonymous, said, do your research, guys. Research Pedogate 2020 on DuckDuckGo. Google has software called Adreno and a search engine called Chrome. Just a coincidence? I mean, since you asked, yes, it is.
Oh, man. They got us good. I do wish that people would send us more messages like this all the time, though.
I know. It's pretty good. I live for the days where people just comment on our episodes on our website and try to tear us down. And I'm like, did you even listen? Or are you just talking out of your ass?
What am I? Austin Powers? I mean,
Ace Ventura. Dude,
that happened when I went to Target the other day. A little kid was talking with his butt. And his parents said, don't do Ace Ventura here. Or something like that. They're yelling. And it was like so nostalgic. I was so happy that this moment happened.
Oh my God, that kid's my hero.
I was like, wow, that kid is like...
I would have bought him some V-Bucks or whatever kids like these days.
V-Bucks? Yeah, was waiting to return a freaking vacuum or something. And this kid's talking with his butt right at the checkout, running ahead.
What a cool kid. He's going places.
Yeah, I was just extremely impressed. I was like, that was me.
Yeah. So, John, I got 10 horror monsters that may or may not be real. And I would like you to tell me if they're real or not. And
okay.
If you get all 10 correct.
I got my poster. So.
Well, you didn't pick out a movie that you wanted. So
yeah, take the fake one.
Oh, well, that's never gonna happen. I'll Photoshop something together for you. If you get all 10 right, I promise not to TP your house on Halloween.
Okay. That's very nice of you. Yeah, there's no trees left. So.
Dang it, you're right. I promise not to TP your lawn on Halloween as a prank. It's just a prank, bro. I'm doing it for the vine. This is probably gonna be really easy because I whipped this together in like 2 minutes.
Right before we started, yeah,
right,
I gave you all the that demanded a game because just they're the best.
Yeah, and people in our we live stream on Facebook on Tuesday nights at 7:30 Central. So if you want to play along live, you can do that. Otherwise, you'll just have to listen to us and not do it live because that's the other alternative. John, the first monster I have for you here, and I have to hide all my tells because you think that you can read my tells.
I can every time. I'm also very smart at these games.
The first one I have is Mansquito. Mansquito.
You don't have synopsises? They're just names of...
What do you need? It's half man, half mosquito.
Okay, so I was just supposed to know that off the top of my head.
Yeah!
He wants to suck your blood, so it's like some kind of weird...
He wants to suck your blood.
Okay, cool. No, this is fake. This is definitely fake. You're hiding your smile.
It's real.
Mansquito.
Yeah, it's real. The next one I have, and I'm hiding my face so that you can't read me, is what I'm doing. I'm not like...
Wow, Mansquito looks terrible.
The next one I have is Catula. And if you need a description, it's half cat, half Dracula. Catula.
Catula. And if I need a description, like he's like, oh, that's real. That makes it real. This is real.
It's fake, my friend. I made it
up.
I made up Catula. I think, well, I know Bunnicula is a thing. I didn't check to make sure Catula is not a thing. It's not.
If Catula is real, this is a scam.
I mean, there are.
Oh my God, there's so many Catulas.
There are images. But there's not a movie about Catula.
Catula movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up. You're in trouble, bud. I bet you every film student that graduated from School of Visual Arts in New York City.
Yeah. The next one I have on my list, John. Are you ready? Or are you still looking up Catula movie?
I'm looking up the Catula movie, but go on.
Okay. The next one I have, Zombie Owl.
Zombie Owl.
Do you need a description for that one, too?
No, I just wish that it was Zumbowl or something with that word. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
I thought you'd come up with something better.
Are you saying this is fake?
Mm. Yeah, Zombie Owl? Yeah, that's you.
Yeah, it's fake. Ding, ding, ding. You got one right.
Zowl, you know?
What?
Zowl.
Zowl. Owl Z. That's probably what Hollywood would end up calling it.
I mean, it is fun looking this stuff up, though, zombie owls. I searched the goofiest movie monsters, and I found some weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, don't cheat.
No, none of them, the stuff you come up with are on here. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. What about a psychic bear?
That's not a monster.
Yes, it is.
A psychic bear.
A bear with psychic abilities? Telekinesis, I'm assuming?
What is that classified as a monster? So what makes something a monster, then?
If it is in a horror movie and terrorizes people and has special superhuman abilities, that's a monster. Like, what makes Jason a monster? He's
what if it's just a
lives forever.
He can't die and stuff. Yeah. So what makes his bear like a psychic power? So it could think like, oh man, I know what you want to eat for dinner.
Yeah.
I'm gonna order ahead so that when you reserve your table, you're gonna have to wait an extra 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I think this is real, Nick. I think this is real.
It is real, but you only know that because you Googled it.
No, I didn't Google anything. I'm still looking up the Catula because there's definitely a movie, and I want to get all my points, even though you did not send me a movie poster.
You chose a fake movie,
and it's a winner, fella.
All right. Well,
yeah. Well, you're a graphic artist.
To fund our poster, you need to go to patreon.com/strangerstill. You're 2 for 4, my friend. Which means I'm definitely TPing your yard. I'm not going to do that. That's a lot of work, and TP is very scarce right now. It might be actually a favor if your house gets TP this year. Actually,
it's TP. Back up.
Yeah. The next one I have is a man-eating chair.
The Manchurian Candidate? I didn't see that movie.
I think this is about something else.
Oh. Yeah, this is real.
I made it up, my friend.
A man-eating chair?
Man-eating chair.
You gotta come up with a name for it. Unless it's just the man-eating chair from Mars or something stupid.
The Automon. Nope. The...
the Auto Monster.
The Auto Monster. The Deadvenport.
He's a... Wow, monster chair is another fun Google image search.
Yeah.
What you about... really send me on a goof and a gaff journey.
Number six is the killer condom.
That one's real.
It is real. It is real. I need to find it a different way to say that. The killer condom was right. Next one I have, the three little pigs.
You know, they kind of were little monsters, right?
Yeah.
They didn't really cover all the gentrification that the pigs, when they moved into that area, they actually moved out a bunch of other pigs. And there's really kind of a racist, like, undertone. They were, like, kind of like little monsters in the fact that they just were not for equality because they live in their own social bundle, like, bubbles on their Facebooks and everything like that. Beyond that, there's a lot of damage to the environment from using straw materials, easily flammable sticks. That's a waste of trees. Bricks, even if you're doing something that's more eco-friendly like that, like you still have to spend some money on grout, other materials and raw supplies. They're not easily afforded by the other pigs in the area that have been kicked out. So it just really makes you think, like, who are the real monsters in our society? Like, are we really wasting our resources?
I mean, they are pigs. All pigs are bad, right?
Take that back. This is real. They're real.
It is not real. I made it up.
You didn't make up the three little pigs. What's wrong with you?
I mean, in a horror movie setting. There's not a horror movie about the three little pigs.
Yes, there is.
Is there?
The story. I'm going to knock your house in and eat you?
That was a wolf. I mean,
yeah,
like
but
these...
the three little pigs are there. What do you think? Just because there's the last girl in horror movies, just because they're not the monster, makes it not a monster movie?
Man, I guess you're right.
The three little pigs are the original last girls. The last girl is the brick pig. He survived.
All right, you win this round. But what about a swarm of bees?
Thank you. A swarm of bees. That would make an excellent movie. Old honeycomb bee from Honey Nut Cheerios.
He wasn't
like a Disney
bee, was
Pixar
he?
Type animation, but horror. Do you know how well that movie would do?
Yeah, what was that guy's name, honey?
Buzz.
Yeah.
What else is he going to be?
They need to bring him back.
Is he not back? I haven't seen the box.
Oh, his name is Crazy Craving.
No, it's not. Crazy Craving?
Yeah.
It's a terrible name.
I agree. Wow.
Does he even have a cool catchphrase? You don't follow his nose. You don't follow his whatever. But doesn't he have like cool teen nephews or something? Or teen son?
I mean, the real answer is his catchphrase was, me want honeycomb.
Oh, you're talking about the furry guy. I'm talking about the bee from Honeycombs.
What? No, that you're thinking
Honey Nut Cheerios.
That's Honey Nut Cheerios, my friend.
Yeah, I don't think of the honey.
Oh, okay. I crossed some wires there. So is a swarm of bees real or fake?
Swarm of bees is real.
You are correct.
What movie is it?
I think it's just called Swarm. Pretty sure. What about the Ginger Dead Man?
Okay, this one I already knew about, so sorry. But he also did come up with my goofiest movie monsters. He's just so funny looking, and he's real.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what this thing on my screen that I'm looking at is now.
What do you want to share with the class?
I could send it to you, but I don't know what I'm looking at.
Well, let me give you this last one, and then you can show me after we're done recording, and we'll just leave everyone wondering.
It's a haunted image. Yeah.
Okay. The last one I have here is the Phantom Limb.
Phantom Limb. That was kind of like the Stephen King book that you just listened to.
Doom of Key.
Read, so.
Yeah.
That makes me think that you made it up because you were trying to do that, but it's such a popular concept. It's got to be real.
As far as I know, it's
like a
fake.
Killer hand.
Yeah. As far as I know,
I think there's got to be. All right. That's a cop out answer, but.
You made me put this together in 2 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, next time I'll give you an extra 5.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
But this was pretty good, and I did have an opportunity to win at least.
Yeah. I think that'll do it for this week. What do you think? I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.